Three wins on the spin, Danny Brams. Charlotte FC a chance to win four in a row this weekend against New England. You think they can get it done?
Easy peasy. Four in a row for the crown, no doubt.
Challenge for a league title.
I think overall we were just flying and the results showed for it. We are on the top now, continue going.
Top of the table, so we gotta foot on the gas and keep going.
I'm confident with this group, man. I think anything's possible.
I don't think confidence really needs to be talked about. It's within.
Togetherness is something that's really big in the team. I felt the trust from everyone.
Each of us are just confident in our ability and as a group.
But it's just 9 games, so we're well aware of that.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show, and we are confident on this Wednesday morning that we're going to do a good show for you, the TFOs. It's great to see everybody. It's great to see you, Danny. And my man of the match on Saturday night is Nick Scardina. A sighting, Danny. He was on the pitch. He started, and it was good to see Nick. He's in that rip of sound there talking about confidence, Danny. This is a huge week for the Crown. It's a big win over San Diego, another win I mentioned. The winning streak is real now. We talked about getting 12 out of 12. Hearing everyone's reaction after the match, what was your takeaway?
What's wrong with being confident, Johnny? You can start to feel it. Every single interview that I watched was just oozing with guys being asked questions about how do you feel? You're on top of the table. You just had a crushing win. Things are looking good. How do you feel? And every single one of them was trying to do the whole, you know, we take it game by game and we're just one win at a time and we got to keep doing it. You heard them saying stuff like that in there, but the body language, the tone, the aura and the confidence oozing off these guys is infectious, even through the screen, Johnny. I'm just watching playbacks of these interviews and I'm just like, wow, these guys are crushing it. And who wouldn't be confident after a crushing win? San Diego was coming in here and, you know, the title of our previous episode is San Diego FC Storms the Fortress. Like, this was a hot team. This was an expansion surprise that had made everybody take notice out in the Western Conference, and they flew across the country, and they got their asses handed to them and sent home, dude. It was great. Absolutely loved it. And we got a ton to talk about. Let's just get into it. I mean, it starts with Liel Abada and Pep Biel connecting early and making it beautiful.
Right. And I do want to say, since you brought up last week's episode, I did tell you in the first 2 minutes of last week's episode that Charlotte was going to win this match against San Diego.
You did. Clear. I'm talking about the outside people. A friend of the show, Ross Smith, who came in and was talking about how he loved San Diego and always watched them as his second screen. You know, I mean,
God, yeah. Well, I mean, let's be real. Like, San Diego was never, ever, ever, ever going to win that match on Saturday night. We knew it here in Charlotte, but I guess other people didn't, and they're going to have to find out, and they'll continue to find out as far as how good this Charlotte FC team is. You mentioned Pep Biel. Once again, it's 9 of 9 goals contributions in the last 9 games for Pep Biel. He is a player that is making a huge difference for this club in his second season, his first full season with the club. You see the silky pass here to Liel Abada, slots him inside the 18, and Liel Abada, a nice finish. I like that connection, Danny. We haven't really seen a lot of a Pep Biel, Liel Abada connection, and you could tell how happy these two were to connect and score a goal here early on Saturday night.
It was absolutely beautiful. I was on assignment this weekend. I was in Austin, Texas, visiting friends and family. Actually went to an Austin FC game, totally other story. But I was watching the match on my friend's couch here. And when this play happened, I just, I got up off the couch and I couldn't help but just like stand in awe because you see it develop and you see Abada coming down the wing and he's looking up and he finds, where's Pep? Pep's in the pocket. And just some wizardly dribbling there from Pep to get through traffic, four or five guys trying to take it away from him. He gets the little dink pass to Liel. Liel stays onside. And this was just one of those, like, you're like, okay, we're cooking now. Charlotte FC is cooking. This is what we do. 10 minutes in, we're pressuring you and we're making you get on your back heels and stop gap defending. And we just absolutely cooked them, dude. It was a beautiful thing to see. And, you love to see Leo celebrate. And it's Pep, man. It's Pep is the magician. What can we say?
It was a build-up goal for sure. If you go back here, when Leo Abada has this ball on the right-hand side, you can't see it on camera there, but Pep is asking for the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pep is the one who originally gives it to Leo. And mm-hmm. Pep continues his run. And Pep is begging for the ball back. He wants the ball in the center of the pitch.
He's in the pocket.
And he got it for sure. So Pep Bial is somebody that I think is going to start to get a lot of hype. He's somebody that's – I noticed that our friend Carol Walton on her latest Football Friday talked about Pep Bial playing like an MVP candidate. And let's start there. Is he that?
I mean, at this point, 9 goal contributions in 9 games, leading the league in assists, best player on the best team in the East. Like all the check boxes are there to be ticked off for an MVP candidate. I think he, as you brought up, we asked the question last week, is Pep the best player in Charlotte FC history? And maybe he is at this point. Contribution wise, you can't deny it. I think he's an MVP
candidate. We never talked about that on the show for what it was worth. We never talked about whether he's the best player. We talked about that before the show. And actually after the show, weekend, I thought to myself, man, we never really got into that conversation about whether Bial is the best player in Charlotte FC history. And right now, it's prisoner of the moment. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Not prisoner of the moment. Christian Kolina.
Yeah. Exactly. You always have to give it up to Kolina. The goalkeeper's got to get their due for sure. Let's hear some quick comments of what Dino has to say about Pep and everything he's doing this year. He was asked. Someone asked Dean, have you started to talk about the contract extension, with Pep's, loan coming up in August, is everything that's been reported. We don't know the true details.
Summer is coming.
But Dean said, no, I haven't even thought about that. I think that was probably deflection. I think they have definitely all thought about it. But here is what he said about Pep's game.
He's just a good footballer. So, good footballers see good runs. And, that's what he did today. And I keep talking about his technical and tactical ability. Physically, he's so much better now as well. He wasn't happy with me bringing him off, but he's had a couple of knee issues. He's had a toe issue before the game as well today, but he was okay after the game.
You love a player that gets pissed off when they get taken off the pitch when the game's basically over.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, as they said, he's just a good footballer. That's like he's just a good footballer, and good footballers make good plays. That's basically the way Dino put it. So whether or not he's the MVP, time will tell. I think it is an ongoing discussion that we'll keep having as the season goes on. And we'll keep having that discussion of whether or not he is the best player in Charlotte FC history. Now it's time to shout out the guy that you shouted out earlier in the show, Nicky Scardina, the rookie making his full MLS debut, came on and made one of the sweetest passes. Real, true ball knowers will call this the Quinn McNeil pass. This is the long distance pass over the right side that leads to greatness. But Scardina made a great pass from right wing. We'll see it again in a second here. I've called up Patrick drawing the penalty here, and pretty clearly a penalty. I thought it was obviously a foul. I know they were kind of going back and forth at it, but Reyes drags it down. But this pass right here is just so sick, Johnny. Like, from the position he's at, way back there, to think that this is going to turn into a goal a few seconds later is absolutely fun and dangerous if Charlotte FC can be doing stuff like that. And Patrick said, just put the ball in behind me and I'll go get it. And he gets dragged down. He finally gets, his just desserts from the referees this time. And as we now know, Johnny, a foul that starts outside the box and continues into the box can be a penalty. And penalty was ruled on review, and it was pretty obvious to me from the start. What'd you think?
I thought about Dean Smith talking about how he prefers strong-footed players at the fullback position. What I mean by that, he wants a right-footed player at the right fullback. He wants a left-footed player at the left fullback. And the reason why is because this ball is only capable from somebody who's really good with their right foot. You hit this ball, and it bends into Patrick Ajumong's stride, right? That's the quality of the ball. It's be able to hit that swinger. It's moving right to left, and it falls right into the stride of Patrick Aujamo. That really is a great ball. And for what it's worth, even though a foul outside the box that starts outside the box and carries into the box can be a penalty, I think it's a horrible rule. I think it's a very, very
right. It shouldn't be right. Exactly.
Horrible.
Yeah. Man. We'll take advantage this time.
Yes. It's even Steven now all square in this category so far this season, although you could take a look back and see maybe some other penalties that Patrick should have gotten, but this is a professional play is what it is. Patrick Aujamo continues to show he knows how to receive contact, go down in the box. And for what it's worth, I think the reason why Pat is starting to get these fouls is because MLS referees are starting to realize that Pat doesn't dive.
Right.
He does. He just doesn't. Right. He's not a player that goes down easy, that tries to win the foul. When Pat goes down, it's because he's received real contact and he can't finish. Because Pat's the type of player, Aujamo is, that can use his physicality, that can use his body to not go down and finish a goal. So when he does go down, I think MLS referees are realizing now that it's very likely that a foul occurred.
I think that's great insight, and I think that's a respect that Patrick has earned by going out there every game and taking that contact, taking those fouls, showing referees, putting it on tape that he is not a player that dives and goes down, like you said. And you can only do that by doing it. You know, the only way to get to Chicago is to go to Chicago. You know, like you can right. only like there's only one way to earn things, and it's by actions. Now again, I'm in Austin, I'm watching this match on TV, and the call goes, the referee comes out, and he does this, you know, but it's still a penalty. That was a pretty funny moment on the VAR review. And then I think, okay, Wilf's going to get his goal. You know, so it's time for Wilf to get his goal. But instead, Patrick's the one who steps up to the spot. I thought, you know, Wilf was the penalty taker, and I wasn't super shocked to see Patrick take it because he won it. Here's some thoughts from both Patrick and Dean on the PK choice, just so that fans can sort of have some clarification going forward. And it's nothing shocking, but I do think it's kind of interesting to listen to.
I mean, yeah, I stepped up for it because it's like, obviously I wanted to play. Nick played a great ball, held my man off, he followed me. And I was like, all right, I mean, this is my goal, so let me take it. So, yeah, I just want to step up. I think little things like that is going to help me and benefit me in the long run of my career.
I think the fact that he won the penalty there, you know, him and Wilf, you know, would be our penalty takers. But if one of them wins it, I think the other one takes it.
Nice.
Oh, sorry, that one takes it.
Yeah, man. I mean, we have a good relationship. So, obviously, if he gets a penalty, he's the first one that can say that it's his ball. If I get a penalty, I'm the first one I can say. And that's how it should be. So, yeah, it's fun.
Do you think after Patrick scored that goal, he had a chance to tell the keeper that, sorry, I never meant to cause you any sorrow. Sorry, I meant to cause you any pain. He's really a nice guy. I just, you know, I had to slot that one home.
Only wanna score this goal in the purple rain. Yeah, dude, beautiful. But you know, if you're watching, you saw that glorious Prince Purple Rain t-shirt that Patrick was wearing post game. If you're just listening on your podcast platforms, you got to hear us talk about it anyway and sing a little bit of lyrical reference. So, yeah, Patrick looking good, sounding good, feeling good, and he stepped up and made it happen, and he buried the PK, Johnny.
Yes. Frankly, I would have been pretty disappointed if Wilfred Zaha took this penalty. I mean, this was Patrick's penalty. Zaha had no business on the spot here, and it was a conservative penalty, and I want to make a key point here when it comes to PK analysis, right, mm-hmm. is that the best players in the world know how to smash their penalty home. Like, that is the key, mm-hmm. is to hit your penalty with force to where if the keeper dives to the correct side, the pace of the ball, it's still so difficult for him to save. And you can see it here. Patrick really slotted this one home. The keeper gets the right side. But because of the pace of the ball, because of how hard Patrick hit the ball, the keeper really didn't have a chance to save it. Yes, you're going to see some PKs where players get cheeky. There's a chip, there's a Panenka, and yes, those are moments of class, but it's the PK takers that continue to take penalties and continue to score are the ones that have, what's the keyword, Danny?
Power.
Confidence.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot the secret word of the day, my fault. Yeah.
Confidence. It's, you have to have confidence to be able to smash a PK home, and Patrick Aujamo is playing with that right now.
Yeah, and he, you know, like we in the little clip of the sort of rip of Shorty soundbites we played off the very top, you know, it's he was like, he's like, I don't really talk about confidence. Oh, I'm feeling so confident. We're all confident. Like, everyone's just saying confidence, confidence, confidence. And it's just oozing out. And you can see in the celebration there, this is all like, nobody's surprised that any of this is happening on the pitch. When you see these players' reactions, they're like, okay, we went and got one goal, and then we went and got another goal. And our striker got dragged down in the box, and he stepped up and buried the PK. And it's beautiful things. And the onslaught continued. I mean, it didn't stop here, but San Diego gets the red card there. It's right at the end of halftime.
This is game over, by the way.
It's game over, and it's open season. The guys just were able to get nuts after that. They only scored one more goal, but they had chance after chance after chance.
And I know you're very happy, not only for the goal scorer of the third goal, but for the family of the goal scorer of the third goal. I know Danny, very good friends with the Privet family. You've got to know them very well since Andrew has come here from Penn State to play for the Crown. It's hard not to be happy for that group after seeing Andrew Privet seal a deal and score that goal.
Yeah, and we absolutely love the Privets. You're exaggerating when you say I'm good friends with them, but I have been blessed enough to – I met Shane Privet and family on the streets of Nashville last year, just about, you know, about 13 months ago. Started a little correspondence. They really appreciated the article that I'd written about Andrew last year. And then we did hang out. You know, Shane bought me a beer at Hot Fly. So I guess we're good enough friends that he would have bought me a beer at Hot Fly.
Sounds
so
like good friends to me.
And I know that's good enough for me. Privet, absolutely. He scored off the side of his ear, but he'll take it for his first MLS goal for sure.
It's a great goal because and Privet talked about this. Maybe we have this clip.
We got it. Yeah, I'll play in a second.
It's a great goal because Ashley Westwood, you don't see that type of ball typically whipped in from that area of the pitch. I mean, that ball had some serious heat on it. Yeah. And Privet just kind of got in the way. And he did so in a way that honestly had a bit of a deft touch. That ball could have easily just like slammed off of him and went over the bar. But he contorted his body in a way, his head specifically, so that ball could bounce off the side of his head and get in the back of the net. It's a great goal. And you can tell when someone scores their first MLS goal, everybody knew it. Mm-hmm. Everybody on that pitch knew it and was happy for Privet getting it done.
And they're all hitting him on the head, you know, which is the funny thing. In the cellar, they're all like just kind of hitting him on the back of the neck and the head. Westwood at one point like hit the back of his own head even just to be like, we all know what happened there. But, hey, congrats on your goal. Here's what Privet had to say about scoring this first MLS goal. He was pretty happy.
We got the foul and Wesley went over and told me he's just going to rip it across the front of the goal and to run across. And I'm just kind of went on that near post and just, you know, put my face to the wall and, you know, get ahead on it. So all I needed was a touch. Yeah, you know, long time coming for sure. So it's good to finally get one and redeem myself after the first one, you know, score the harder one after missing the sitter. So it's good to redeem myself there. I didn't see it go in the back of the net. I just heard the crowd and then I was like, oh, I think I scored because I think my ear was on fire. It was ringing from smacking me in the side of the head.
Your ear is on fire.
Andrew Privet. I mean, here's the big question when it comes to Andrew Privet. I saw this, maybe one of the TIFOs put this out there on social media. Just kind of about Andrew Privet's. So I think somebody asked, was Mauricio Pochettino watching this match?
I know what you're talking about.
And I think that's a good question because I'm not saying Andrew Privet should be a starter for the United States men's national team or should even be on the squad. He's never had a call-up before. But Tim Ream's on the team, and Andrew Privet looks better than Tim Ream. So 1 + 1 typically equals 2. I wouldn't be surprised if Mauricio Pochettino has Andrew Privet on a list somewhere, maybe to get a call-up at some point in the next couple of years. I don't know if he gets one before the World Cup, but if Charlotte FC continues to play well and Andrew Privet can get on a really nice run of form, I'm not going to rule it out of the equation.
I love where your head's at there. I think he should be watching. If Pochettino is doing his job, he definitely was watching. You know, I did think I think Ream was sort of was waiting at the back post. I think Ream was ready to score that thing if someone else didn't in front of him. Ashley Westwood really did rip that thing in. I want to play a quick. Here's a little. Here's a different look at the goal. And this is courtesy of a friend of the show, Kevin Young, the 5-2 Project, who was shooting some stuff and shared it with me so I could do some edits and whatnot. And you can see Previtt just turns his head and just kind of flicks it. It is a death touch, like you said.
What a Kevin Young shout out! I mean, what a great video of the goal. It's tough to have a better angle than this one. It was posted up in the exact right spot. I don't know if he got lucky or if he busted his ass to get over there, but good for you, Kevin. It's a great shot for the goal. You can put that one for sure at the top of the list as far as what type of content you're going to get, especially considering Andrew Privet decided to come over to the corner here that you're at as well and do a little selly with the crowd. And Patrick comes and joins him.
Pointing at him like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's center backs like when other center backs score. It's like a special thing. Like if a forwards like when other forwards score, it's fine, but that's their job. I mean, when your center back partner scores a goal, it's almost like you scored a goal. And that's the Milan to Privet relationship for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of center backs, I mean, even Dino, the former center back, had to give him a little shit on this one, though.
Yeah, they were. I think he came off the back of his head. I'm not sure, but it'd be nice to see it back. But he's deserved one because he's been close a few times. So it's nice for him to get his first goal.
I mean, gaffer, you know, coming off the back of my head, referencing my previous misses. I mean, that's a little bit rough, but heck, you know, it's all in good fun.
The nice thing is like we have been at open training, we have been at practice, and we have seen Dean working with the center backs, working on headed balls in the defensive box and the offensive box. Dean has put a lot of time and energy. And I think that's why he feels like he can give Andrew a little banter there, and is because that relationship is real. Like Dean, we always talk about Dean being a former center back, but he's also a center back coach. Like he's doing that at practice. Yeah, that's where he's hands on the most, in my opinion, is making sure that the center back pairing does the job. Because if the center back pairing does the job, then everything just can flow from there.
Yeah, agree with that. I mean, that we built from the spine. This is a team that is finally scoring some goals and looking exciting on offense, but its foundation is always going to be defense and going for those Kalina sheets. Christian Kalina played a good game. We'll look at match ratings in a few minutes.
Another clean sheet. Kalina sheet, maybe.
But yeah, he got the Kalina sheet, and he looked really good. I want to get – so we got the goals, Johnny, and now we've got the smash win. We've got New England coming to town, back-to-back home matches. It's going to be fun on Saturday. Can't wait for all that. But there's some lingering questions, and I want to sort of do the final phase of this episode in let's take stock, because yes, we're on top of the Eastern Conference table, but you never want to get too ahead of yourself. You never want your confidence to drift into overconfidence, to keep with the theme of the episode. So
let's call that arrogance.
Yes. In lieu of avoiding arrogance, let's talk about some lingering questions, because there are some issues. The first one I want to ask you is, do people realize, and maybe this is not exactly the humblest of self-reflective questions here, but do people realize how well Wilfred Zaha is playing? I'm starting to already see some chatter of like, oh, is this another Copetti? Oh, this guy's flopping around and he's not really doing it. And I'm not saying everybody's saying that. Most people that know the game are not the ones saying that, but just the casual fan who comes around, and even people I know who are not Charlotte FC fans, but who are like MLS fans of other clubs, and they'll be like, Zaha's not doing anything for you guys. And I have one example of a video that I want to show of Pep and Wilf when they combined for right at the start of the second half. And it showed how Charlotte was really just pouring it on. And this was one of the sickest plays of the day, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
This deserved a goal so badly.
Oh, that was sick for sure. And Zaha's there, and it's a good question that you ask. Do people realize how good Wilf is? Because if you are a newbie and you hear the buzz about the signing, I think what we're seeing from Pep Bial is what I think people expected to see from Wilfred Zaha. Like, I think that's truly the issue, is that Zaha doesn't have the numbers that Pep does. And because of that, people are like, wait, I thought Zaha was the superstar. But it's hard to see the little things that Wilfried Zaha does. Like, I mean, on Saturday night at the stadium, Zaha was on an island on the left wing. What he was doing there was taking up a lot of defensive pressure away from the rest of the pitch. You know, people have to continually, the opposition that is, know where Wilf is on the pitch, and that opens things up. So even if he's not showing up on the stat sheet, Wilf is making an impact for sure. Do people realize how good he is? Since you posed the question, I feel like I have to have an answer. And I think the answer is no. People don't realize how good he is.
I agree with you, because if there's any question, it's too much of a question. That's the thing. I don't think it's a majority of people questioning, but I just think no one should be questioning. This play is just so sick. I'm just watching this and just like my jaw's on the floor watching, like, all of our forwards are up in the area in spaces to receive a pass. Liel finds Wilf at the top of the key. Wilf backheels it to himself, fights through his man, gets the pass into Pep in the pocket, and then continues the run and makes eye contact with Pep, so that Pep does this sick backheel and Wilf's in space with the shot. It's just a great, great save that stops this from being MLS goal of the week in my mind. This is insane. Johnny, you're muted, so just repeat what you just said. Sorry.
I'm muted because my wife just put the foster dog in the crate downstairs. I can tell that she left, poor Dolly's going a little wild in the crate downstairs. But what I was saying was, and maybe I was muted for a reason, I was saying, well, could have been a better finish, one-on-one with the keeper.
This is just one highlight. Wilf was doing stuff all over the pitch last night, Dino, for his part, is not concerned about Wilfried Zaha's relatively low stats at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's only trained a couple of days, so he needed the minutes. But he deserved a goal tonight. I thought his all-round play deserved a goal. But he was just as pleased as everybody else in the dressing room after.
Team, a superstar that loves his teammates, man. Can't be mad about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on Saturday night, I want people to watch who are at the match, specifically what happens with Wilf and Dino when Charlotte FC is attacking away from the supporter section, when Wilf is on Dino's side of the pitch. Those two are in constant communication. There's a bunch of one-on-one chats that happen throughout the half that Wilf is on Dino's side. It's a real relationship between those two, and Wilf really likes to talk to the gaffer during the match, which is, I think, is a good thing. I think some players, what they like to do is just kind of go out on the pitch and be in their bubble and not look over to the sideline and speak to the manager. Mm-hmm. Wilf is in constant communication with the manager during the match, which I think is a good sign for a player that we have jokingly referred to as Zava.
I think that's a fantastic sign. And it's a fantastic signing, and it will only continue to get better. And Wilf's goal and assist numbers are only going to come up, like that, if he keeps making plays like that. I got one more video clip to show you, one more question to ask you, Johnny, and that is, how does Liel Abada not walk away with a brace from this game? Because this play was absolutely insane. Round the keeper, and then there he is. Who's that? Hamadi Diop, the name, the player that we cited last week, the guy I tried to trivia question you with, former Charlotte FC number one overall draft pick, got hustled his ass back and got the headed clearance off the line to prevent Liel from a really ridiculous goal here. Should have been two for Abada.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it again. Gotta finish that one. One-on-one with a defender.
Yeah.
Gotta finish that one. Can't hit it right at him. And I think Liel knows it. And I kind of felt bad for Hamadi Diop. I don't think like it was a bad situation for him to have to come on the pitch against his former team when they were down a man. That kind of sucked for him, because he didn't start this match, right?
They sacrificed a forward to sub in another defender to replace Reyes. Yeah.
Yeah, tough spot for Diop for sure. But good to see him.
Had to feel good in this stadium to do something like this, to just hustle your ass back and make a one-on-one, 1v1 headed save. I mean, you still lost the match, but at least you covered yourself in glory for a second there, and Liel did not.
Yeah, glory is one way to put it. Doing your job down a man is another way to put it. I think Diop I think it was probably a tough night for him, knowing how good Charlotte FC is, getting your ass kicked, wondering what went wrong in Charlotte, and then having to get back on a flight three and a half hours, 4 hours back to San Diego. I think he was thinking, like, hey, man, what would have happened in my career if I made it happen in Charlotte? That team is very good, and I've got a chance here with San Diego, but
right. Same draft class with Scardina, Ajimong, and Privet. You know, like all of them.
Same position as Scardina, by the way, who started in this match.
Yeah. So a little bit of a tough one, but shout out Hamadi. Everyone had really kind things to say about him after the match. So let's look real quick at the SofaScore ratings and just what do you think of how this team played? Do any of these ratings surprise you? Zaha, again, as I said, you know, pulled off the – Zaha scores a 7 and Abada scores a 6.8 despite Abada having the goal and Zaha having no goal. I think that speaks to just how well Zaha's playing relatively, and I think Abada lost a bunch of, you know, sort of points there for missing such a big 1v1 on open net.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to just focus my theme on fullback play. And I just want to give Nick Sardina a lot of credit for stepping in a really important spot and providing Charlotte with a good performance. 6.7 is very good, and it works for a player like Nick who doesn't get any time whatsoever. For him to come out and give a 6.7 performance is a very good thing. Suleiman Dambia as well, doo-doo out there, a 6.8. These are the type of performances that you need from fullbacks, because the fullback is the weak link on this squad. You're never going to get an 8.0. You might as an outlier, but I think what you want to look for is consistent high 6 performance. If these fullbacks can get into 7, this team's going to turn into a really, really good team. But right now there's a reason why you're seeing that. The highest rated players on the pitch are the ones that are getting it done, except for Leal in this situation, but Dumbia and Scardina, there's a lot of room for improvement still at the fullback position.
Yeah. And, you know, shout out to Scardina, who's coming in to fill in for Nathan Byrne, who was hurt. I clipped off a soundbite that I don't want really. Let me just play it real quick, because Nathan Byrne's going to be out for a while. It
looks like we might have to go down the surgery route. He's just waiting at the moment for a second opinion. But that's how he's looking at the moment, which will probably put him out for 6-7 weeks. It's a disc problem, a disc bulge, I think they call it.
Potentially 6-7 weeks, you know, getting a second opinion. Surgery's not confirmed yet, but that tells me Scardina, Your second career match is going to come pretty quickly on the heels of your debut. I think we can expect to see Scardina again. So where does that leave you as someone who called him your man of the match? I'm not sure how tongue in cheek that was, but
no, being dead serious, like he really stepped up and filled in admirably and had a beautiful ball into the box for Patrick there, and that was that pass technically like sealed the deal for the win. Who knows what would have happened if that pass didn't come through. I'm not going to play a doctor on the show, although I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy lately. I'm not going to play a doctor. But I'm really concerned about the Nathan Byrne situation. And the reason why is because bulging discs, spine issues, those things tend to happen with age. And when you reach a certain age, those issues tend to linger. And our friend, Scotty Arfield, was dealing with the same thing when his career at Charlotte FC came to an end. So this is a really important time for Nathan Byrne. I think the more time, the better. Take as long as you need. This is a long season. When you get to a certain age, you start to have these back issues, these disc issues. I know it's a neck thing. It's a spine issue is what it is. That's as important as it gets for an athlete, the spine. We know we always talk about the spine on the pitch, but Nathan Byrne's spine, you got to take care of that. And I'd rather Nathan just kind of sit out for 3 months if he has to and get back here for late summer, fall.
Right.
That, to me, makes the most sense.
You say he could sit out 3 months. I'm like, oh, 3 months is a long time. Then I think, oh, well, 3 months is barely – I mean, we'll be in the middle of League's Cup. You know, there's a billion years left in the season for sure. As I think Scardina filled in admirably and can continue to do so. If this was something new that we had just heard about with Byrne, it maybe feel a little less severe. But we've been hearing – Dean sort of make allusions to Burns banged up. Westwood said something about Burns banged up. That's been happening all season. So I do think that there's probably some deeper seated issues there. A lot of love for Scardina post game. Everybody was singing his praises. Here's a few examples.
I was never not going to play Nick. You know, if Nathan got injured as he did, I just think sometimes, you know, they can sink or swim, and he certainly swam today. And, you know, I think the help and support from the others helped him as well. You know, he's up against Chucky, you know, and he did a really good job against him defensively. Looks really calm and patient on the ball as well. So a really good debut for him.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I've waited for like this moment for like 2 years. It's felt like the organization, you know, has put a lot of trust in me, and I kind of wanted to just, you know, I wasn't nervous. I wanted to just kind of go out there, show what I was about, and kind of take the opportunity. You know, I really had nothing to lose going into the game, and kind of went in with that mentality, and it felt good to be on there.
Yeah, that's my boy. We did it from Legacy. You know, we were in the same draft class, and I literally told him, I said, if you see the pass on the channel, play it. I'll make sure I'm there. He saw it. We locked eyes, played it, made the run, and ultimately caused a PK. I told him that he got assists off that. I wanted to score it, but I told him we should have, you need to connect for a goal. But it's just nice to see my boy doing well.
Fantastic comments from Patrick there. I'm going to challenge one thing that Nick said. I appreciate that he went into this match, Danny, saying that he had nothing to lose. I disagree with that. I think he had a lot to lose. I think that if he didn't meet the mark in this match, it would have been really tough to find some more minutes.
Only your entire career, you know. Yeah, Hamidi Diop had nothing to lose when he first took the pitch for Charlotte FC, and we just talked about where things went bad for him since his debut was not as impressive as young Scardinas, for sure.
Right. It's three on the spin. It's three wins in a row. You know, I don't want to do and I told you so, but told you so. This 3-4 games, this 4-game stretch was it.
Yeah.
And it finishes on Saturday against New England. These 12 points were for the taking. The expectation was to take 12 points from these four matches. And right now Charlotte FC is 9. And because of those 9 points, they're top of the table, Eastern Conference table. Anyway, pretty cool to see, yep. Isn't it?
Yeah, we're second in the league, 1 point behind Vancouver if you did the full league table here. But I put up the East this week because the East, most of our next few matches are against the East. We got New England, Columbus, Nashville, Orlando all on the docket here coming up soon. And these are prove it matches. We've built this big stack of points that we now hold thanks to strong home play. And now we got to take that on the road. They did get the road win against Montreal, who were able to scrape out a draw this past weekend. So they, you know, they have Montreal avoided 3 losses in a row, but we made them look pretty decent, to be honest. They looked better against us than they have against a lot of the rest of the league. We did get that win, but after New England comes to town and they're riding 2 straight wins, It becomes a bit of a road situation, and I think Dino knows that we can't get too far ahead of our skis at this point.
I knew we're capable of winning games, to go, you know, 5 home games and win all 5 with the fixture list that came out as well. We've had some tough matches, but that's been really pleasing and pleasing for the crowd and supporters, for them to get behind us as well. But it's just 9 games, so we're well aware of that.
Yes, it's 9 games, but you're top of the Eastern Conference table. You've got your 10th game coming up here against New England, who's sitting in 11th place. Back-to-back wins. New England has won 3 of the last 4, so a formidable matchup on Saturday night at the Fortress, going for 12 out of 12. It's been a fun show today, Danny. Thanks for doing all the hard work, putting all this together. It's been great to chat. We missed you at the match on Saturday. Are you going to be there this week against New England?
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get back in the swing of things. I have all kinds of stories I could tell about going to see Austin FC, but all I will say is very impressed by their supporter section. Their team has an edge. That they looked a lot different than any other Austin FC team you've ever seen play before. And I did get within about 50 feet of Matthew McConaughey as he walked out to congratulate some of the players post game. So I had pretty decent sleep. All right, baby. We just keep living at the top of the table.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. As always, follow us on social. You can find us on X. You can find us on Blue Sky, Instagram. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like the video. Make sure you subscribe. Share it with a Charlotte FC friend and become a tremendous friend of the show. Until next time, Danny.
For the crown, baby.